This article comes out of Video Games Chronicle and was written by Chris Scullion. According to Steam 250, which assigns Steam games a score determined by whether players give them a positive or negative review, combined with how many players reviewed them, eFootball currently has a score of 8%. That makes it lower than the previous worst-rated game, 2011's racing title Flat Out 3, which has a score of 15%. At the time of writing, the game has nearly 4,000 reviews on Steam, of which only 350 are positive. Though some of those are joke reviews, including one user saying they like it because they like PS2-era games. A number of PC players have been reporting that the game only allows them to play with a maximum resolution of 720p. Steam should update its policy so that we can refund free-to-play games, one reviewer joked. Although the game is free-to-play, players can also buy an eFootball 2022 Premium Player Pack priced at $39.99. This includes a range of microtransaction content that can be used until the mid-November update arrives, 2 months after its release. eFootball by Konami. The worst rated game on Steam, Roger. What do you think of Konami's eFootball?
I'm going to tell you a little story. Oh, it's actually pretty funny. So on would have been Friday night. I was chilling out playing some games online with your arch nemesis Finn. We're playing a bit of Wolfenstein Youngblood, the co-op one. Playing that for a bit. We had lots of fun. At the end of the session, we're kind of talking about the new FIFA that apparently has got a pretty decent career mode this year. And I was like, yeah, you know, I really don't want to give them any more money. Like I've bought them for the last couple of years. Last year's one was pretty disappointing. And then we went, oh yeah, there's that new eFootball game. I think just came out, not knowing anything about, you know, any sort of outside opinion, any sort of review, nothing at all. So we both go, he had it ready to go, and I went, you know, I'll just download it while we're talking, we'll give it a crack. We both jump in, play the kind of tutorial, kind of trial little match that you have at the start of the game, and we're both like, okay. So I think he heard stuff about it. I didn't. He was, oh, I heard it was terrible. I was like, oh, really? Like, usually those games are pretty good. Like, Pro Evolution Soccer, which is the what they used to be called before, was kind of like FIFA's rival for a very, very long time. So I went in. I was like, you know, trying to get used to it. No, you know, this is pretty decent. This is not bad at all for a free soccer game. And then the next day, old mate Zach messages me and goes, mate, Doc is ready to go. Have a read through. This is what we're going to talk about in the first article is, of course, what you just read. And I went, oh, wow, okay. I did not experience any of that.
Okay.
On the PS5. Insane that I played one game. I checked it out again yesterday afternoon to look at what modes there are and stuff. It's very bare bones, as you can imagine. There's no kind of single player career mode and stuff, which is usually what I'm interested in. But yeah, I mean, I actually thought it looked pretty good from what I saw.
Okay.
But then I look at the screenshots that you have up there and I went, oh, fuck. Okay. Is that really the same game? Apparently, you know, I'm tempted to just download it on Steam now to see if it's really that bad, because it sounds like maybe the PC version is a piece of garbage. Maybe it's better on console.
This story is about, I don't know, about 8-9 days old, something like that. I doubt they could have possibly fixed so much of this up, but yeah, some of the screenshots that have come out of this, I recommend if you type in Konami's eFootball into Google Images, all of this stuff will pop up. It's great. And make sure you type in crowd, because the crowd shots are really fantastic. Like they look like PlayStation 2 NPCs, like then like with barely any polygons on those faces. It is fantastic, and loads of repeated NPCs as well too in the crowd there. Yeah, it's great. It's something to behold. Konami just can't seem to do anything right now. But yeah, maybe it's not as bad as what they're saying. Maybe it's the PC version. I'll have to have a look and see.
You know, quietly, I'm kind of hoping this game succeeds at least a little bit, because that's really, I think that's the ideal model for a sports game. Releasing a full price game every fucking year and then charging an arm and a leg on top of that to get, you know, whatever it is, fucking virtual currency in NBA 2K and FIFA points, whatever they're called for Ultimate Team, that sort of shit. It's just, it sucks, right?
Yeah. But,
you know, at least their game, eFootball, is free, and then the, you know, there's the microtransactions in there to do whatever the fuck. That's a bit more palatable to me, okay. I think. So, yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, FIFA and 2K go, okay, maybe we do one game and then we update it every year, like a roster update, instead of releasing a full price game every year. It's the same piece of shit.
Well, it makes sense. They're already following the free-to-play model by putting exactly. in, like, these loot packs and all that stuff in there. Like, they should just be doing a free-to-play game. But no, EA wants to have their cake and eat it too. So I can at least respect that Konami's being up front with all that stuff. And yeah, like, I would hope to see that they fix it up in the future. But I was just having a look at the I can't find the PS5 one, but the PS4 Metacritic reviews, they've only got user reviews there. And they're real bad, eh? It's sitting at 0.4.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to News to Reviews, your place to be for gaming news stories, and also your place to be for impressions on the latest games coming out each and every week. My name is Zach, and I'm not here with Lockie this week. It'll just be me with one other person, and it is a regular guest. You know him, you love him, we all love him. It is the returning Roger. Roger, how's it going?
Upgraded his co-host. Dude, have you told people how much you're paying me to do this, by the way, or we don't talk about that?
Look, I don't want to start getting inundated with emails asking for a job, so I'd rather not let everyone know what I'm paying you. I also don't want Lockie to be salty as he was doing it for free.
Oh, man. As always, happy to be here. I love the energy in the introduction, Zach. I feel like you get more and more energetic as time goes by. Well, it's beautiful.
You know why I have so much energy this time? Not just because I'm excited to talk to you about games again, but also because this week is just fucking ridiculous, man. There is so much stuff. There is a ton of gaming news, including some leakage. Oh, I love me some leakage. I'm feeling moist right over here in anticipation for some leakage. But then also just so many game impressions. Like, so much stuff was released this week. We had consoles. We had games. It's just the game industry just absolutely blew its load. And I am here on my knees with my mouth gaping wide, just ready to just guzzle it all down.
Are you saying there's games other than New World out there? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
There's other video games?
That's right. Other games have come out, though I'm very excited to talk about New World as well too, for sure. As you know, Roger, and I don't think the audience would know yet, I finally have got my hands on a PC. Shout out to regular guests we get on the show, Dazza, who helped me put this one together. Oh my, it was a fun experience getting to put a PC together for the first time. And it's just also just an awesome fucking PC. I'm so glad I finally did it. So shout out to you, Roger, and the Inconsolables and everyone else out there who over the last 2 years it just said to me, Zach, what are you doing?
Your choices. Just
get a PC, man. What are you doing, Zach?
Being a peasant.
Oh, far out.
One of us.
Anyway, with that big rant of all the stuff I'm excited about out of the road, Roger, how are you, mate?
I'm fantastic, man. Like I said, I'm always happy to be here, talk video games. I don't get to do this as often as I used to anymore. So, you know, it's extra exciting
to
be here and talk to you for however long we end up talking games for, man. I'm fucking keen.
It's going to be a big one this week. It's going to be a big one this week, that is for sure. Only two of us, though, so hopefully that, that means
all
we can
need.
Get through
what
this
else you
stuff
need?
A little
what else do you need?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Just the two of us.
Don't get greedy, man. Two's plenty.
Oh, speaking of plenty, let's get cracking with the gaming news. Our first story, it is really good that we have you on this week to talk about this game, because I remember you being one of the few fans of this game out there that I knew of when this game was released, and I am talking about Crystal Dynamics' Marvel's Avengers. They've added new consumables that temporarily boost XP and resource gains that can be purchased with credits that can only be purchased with real money. So what I'm basically saying there is they are now selling XP boosts for real money in Marvel's Avengers. Roger, you're a fan of this game.
I love it. It's amazing. You know, what really amazes me is that they're still finding new ways to improve the game. And, you know, instead of, you know, they've released all this content for free over the past year. Yeah. And they go, you know, instead of charging you for like some sort of season pass, we're going to charge you to keep playing the game. And, you know, we're even going to give you some XP boosts in there, which is, I think, really generous. I'm sorry. I can't keep this going for any longer. This is fucking disgusting. I hate that stuff. I fucking hate it. So yes, I was a big fan of the game when it came out, because it's, you know, it's right up my alley, man. Like I love fighting shit in different forms, you know, your Destiny, your Diablo and whatnot, and just have all sorts of shiny loot come out of them. I love that shit, right? And the gameplay loop was great. Like the combat in that game is pretty good. You know, I played it a fair bit with Chris. It was a fun kind of co-op experience for us. It's what we love doing. I went back in after the Hawkeye DLC came out, the first one. The second one I didn't play, but by that point it was like there was a big gap in between. I went back in and I kind of, like, you know, I had to learn how to play again. I was like, you know, when you first play, you get the tutorials and whatnot. Going back in after a few months, it's a lot. It was a lot. So I went, you know, there's other games that kind of do that scratch that itch for me that I can go back to. I kind of got over it. I wanted to go back in for the Black Panther DLC, but I heard it was more of the same. I was just kind of kind of done. I'm done. So yeah, probably never gonna try that elusive Spider-Man exclusive DLC that PlayStation is getting. So yeah, I mean, weird way to try and make extra money from, like, milk the game anymore after, I think it's the 1 year anniversary now.
Oh shit.
Or it was September last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I think so. September or August. But yeah, like it's been over a year now, hasn't it? Wow. Far
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Oh, far out. Yeah. Now it never grabbed me, Marvel's Avengers. I wanted to like it. I like Crystal Dynamics. I like Marvel. I like Marvel games. Spider-Man is one of my favorite games on the PS4, one of my favorite games of that generation. It's so good. But it was just, I found it just disappointing in most aspects. First off, it was just broken. The frame rates just dipped so hard, really bad throughout most of the game, especially like the online sort of missions and Like, the combat was, like, you know, it's sort of fun sometimes, but still, it just, like, a lot of it felt kind of weightless, especially playing as Hulk. It just, like, you know, you're the Hulk, yet, like, you know, you're doing three-hit combos on these little tiny robots, and it's like, yeah, I get you have to balance all the characters, but it just, I don't know, it just felt, it felt really weird, and yeah, it just, it sucks to see that it was a game that didn't grab people from the beginning, and now they're just giving us another reason to not want to go back. I don't know. They've been so good so far. They just keep putting in all this free content and whatnot down the track, and maybe it wouldn't be so bad if Square Enix didn't say that they weren't going to be doing any basically pay-to-win sort of stuff, and this is straight-up pay-to-win. Like, it's a XP boost in a multiplayer game. You're going to be racking up.
It's not competitive, though. It's not winning. You're not winning against anyone.
But it's still a gross way to make money off your game.
This is
a game where I checked the Twitch viewers yesterday, and it was sitting at 404. You know, which is not great. Steam concurrence in the last 30 days had a peak of like 1,500, which is actually pretty good for Avengers. Like, it's been a lot less in previous months, with an average of 800 players. And I think its biggest peak, like, over the last like year really was when Black Panther came out. It had like a peak of about 10 concurrence at one point with an average of like 2,000 players over that month. But that's it. I don't know how it's doing on Game Pass. We don't know what the console numbers are like and whatnot, but just, I don't know. Why do such a gross practice like this? I don't like it when Ubisoft does it with Assassin's Creed Origins and then Odyssey, and I can't remember. I think they end up doing it with Valhalla as well. I can't 100% remember. I'd have to double check that, but yeah, I'm just not a fan of paid XP boosters. It just seems like a developer creating a problem and then selling you the solution. You know, like you can say, excuse and say, oh, the game is not too grindy. It's just for people who want to bypass all that. But I don't know. a lot of the times the game is just too grindy. I remember at the very start when it first came out, there was like a bug that made progression go too quick, or the progression was just too quick at the start. So they slowed it down because they said it was too confusing for players. But now they're selling you back XP boosters, basically selling you that confusion at a premium. I don't know. So it just makes me feeling icky.
How do you feel about Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh, I'm very tepid on Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't know. The writing, what I've seen in the trailers and whatnot so far, hasn't been very good. But look, they're just trailers. You know, the game could come out and the narrative could be amazing. But I'm more keen on a single-player, narrative-based Marvel game than I am on a loot-based multiplayer one like Marvel's Avengers. So, you know, that has me a bit more excited. But I don't know. I haven't seen anything come out of any of the Guardians previews and whatnot so far that's really got me that hyped. I'm going to play it at the end of October. I think it comes out on the 26th. Of October,
something like that. Yeah,
yeah. I'm definitely gonna play it. I'm gonna check it out. But yeah, will it be one that I'm definitely gonna enjoy? I don't know.
So you disagree with the comparisons between that and Mass Effect?
I haven't seen the. Oh, do you mean for Avengers or for?
No, for sorry, I kind of just fucking changed the topic there. For Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, what's the comparisons between that and Mass Effect? I haven't heard of it.
So apparently, in terms of, you know, the conversations and how it affects the narrative and all that, so it's being compared a lot to Mass Effect.
Okay. Well, I don't know. From what I've seen in the small snippets of narrative,
you got to pay for XP though. So.
Okay, there you go. From what I've seen from the small snippets I've seen, the writing didn't seem very good. The jokes really just didn't land, but these were just trailers. I don't know. I'll have to wait till I get my hands on the game, but I'm going to play it. Watch this space. I will be talking about it. But speaking of the Guardians of the Galaxy game, the studio developing that is Eidos Montreal. And they're in the news this week because they are moving to a 4-day work week. They'll be working 32 hours with no change to salary. And Eidos Montreal consists of over 500 employees. And that is why this is a big story. Like, we've heard earlier on in the year that the developers of Bugsnax They moved to a 4-day work week, but there's only, I think, like between 10 and 20 people working at that studio, so it's far easier for them to be able to be capable of doing something like that. So this is the first like AAA size studio, massive studio that we've seen move to this kind of format, which is really exciting. And the head of the studio, David Anfossi, said in a blog post, "The idea is not to condense the working hours into 4 days, but rather to review our ways of doing things and our quality time invested with the aim of working better," Anfossi said. "Above all, we want to increase the productivity and well-being of our employees." They basically said they want to cut down on time wasted in things like meetings and stuff like that. Yeah, pretty cool. Roger, what do you think of IDOS moving to a 4-day? IDOS Montreal moving to a 4-day work week?
I love that, man. I think that's really good, especially from, you know, the stuff that we've been talking about the past few years with crunch and whatnot. There's crazy horror stories that you hear from game development. So I think that's great, man. Coming from my line of work where I'm basically in a position where as long as I get my work done, no one gives a shit and they're pretty open about it. You know, it's not like I don't feel like I'm breaking any rules if I go out on a walk throughout the day or like spend a bit of time with my kid during work hours. It's, you know, I have that flexibility. So I completely agree with the productivity side of it. I think, you know, it's proven like you're more productive when you don't feel under that sort of pressure. So I think that's awesome. That's great.
Yes, I love this so much. This makes me so happy. Like I've heard like hear tell, like I'm pretty sure I remember teachers saying to me in high school, "Oh, when I was a kid, they told us that because of technology, we're going to be moving to a 4-day work week when we get older." And now you just hear nothing of it. And now we're hearing something of it. It's happening. And with all industries, the gaming industry. So cool. And now IDOS Montreal is obviously in Canada. I believe, that like Montreal is quite progressive in a lot of ways. So that's how they're sort of managing to get away with this. But I think it's really cool. All eyes are going to be on IDOS Montreal now to see how successful this model is. And if they have success with this, then, you know, we can't see reason why other studios can't sort of follow suit. Now, obviously, things are going to be different in every country because you're going to have different labor laws and stuff like that. But yeah, this is just great to see, like a studio of this size trying something like this. I am very much excited. Oh yeah, that'd be great. Like think of all the stuff that you'd be able to do. Think of the life you could have with that extra day to yourself a week. It's pretty cool. Pretty bloody cool. Love it. And you know what else I love? Sony is testing out free trials. So now this is only happening in the UK and it's only happening for a couple of games, right? So basically Sony is now letting you play up to 6 hours of Death Stranding or up to 5 hours of Sackboy: A Big Adventure. So you can give it a try before you buy. And as I said, yeah, only available in the UK, but before we go singing Sony's praises, there is a massive asterisk on this one. Massive, massive asterisk. It's, oh God, it's like a Nintendo level face palm crazy thing. That free trial period starts from when the download of the game starts. So say you want to play yourself some Death Stranding. You have to wait until it's downloaded enough for that application to start at the very least. I don't know if you'll wait for the whole thing before you can actually start playing it. And that countdown time is already ticking its way down. So, like, you know, the better internet you have, basically, the more bang you get out of your free trial $0 that you're putting in. Such a weird, weird fucking thing.
That's why it's only in the UK. That would not work in Australia. It's like, I mean, I haven't started playing yet. And it's still fucking downloading and my trial's over. Like,
oh God, it's this weird thing that Sony does. And it's that they do the same thing with their refund policy with pre-orders, Whereas you can cancel a pre-order and get a refund, but only if it hasn't started downloading to the console yet. If it starts downloading to the console, too late, you've purchased it. Even if you, like, it doesn't, you can't physically use it until midnight on launch or whenever launch is supposed to be. It's fucked. Sony have been fined for it in Australia for millions of dollars. Still pulling that shit. It's still the case, as far as I can tell. You can't just get a refund of a Sony game. Like,
so they got fined for it, but weren't made to change their rule.
Yeah, exactly.
What? Okay.
Yep. It's just the cost of doing business. It was just millions of dollars too. It's nothing to a company that's worth billions. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. Yeah.
I've been telling you, Sony is trying to be Nintendo. They're like, Nintendo is getting away with all this shit. Why aren't we doing what we want without giving a fuck?
Yeah. I'm shocked they're even like doing backwards compatibility with PS5. They're not just going full Nintendo and just being like, yeah, nope, PS5 only plays PS5 games. The fact that you can still play your PS4 library is kind of incredible. It's making me wonder if when Nintendo finally does move to a next Switch, if they're going to feel more compelled to make it backwards compatible. We'll have to wait and see. They haven't been so far in the past, so but now I think people care about it more than ever, especially with their sort of their online libraries and stuff like that. Like, if you'd spent $1,000 on the Nintendo eShop, you're going to be pretty upset to see all that completely dissipate into nothing when you purchase the next console, unless you want to hang on to that previous console.
Could you buy digital versions of games on the Wii U from the eShop?
I never owned a Wii U, so I wouldn't know, but you could on the 2DS, which is a dead console now. Like, I think the shop might still... I think you can still download games that you purchased off the shop and stuff. Maybe. I can't remember. That might even be dead at this point now. But yeah, like, there's no... You can't play your 2DS, 3DS games on your Nintendo Switch now. So yeah, effectively, that whole library that you had there, if you had one digitally, is completely gone. So yeah, let's hope it doesn't happen in the future of this. But yeah, look, getting back, we got a bit sidetracked there. That was my fault. Getting back to these free trials, I hope that this does eventually become the norm. I hope they do bring this to Australia. I just hope they get rid of this stupid download thing, because we are in Australia and we have terrible fucking internet. I'll be lucky to get 10 minutes of fucking Death Stranding in the time it takes to download that shit. My God. Oh, far out.
So weird.
But yeah, the good news just keeps on coming with... finding out that Randy Pitchford has a little bit less to do with game development over at Gearbox. Apparently, old Randy is moving over to be president of Gearbox Studios, which, like, is their entertainment wing of Gearbox, apparently. So it's like where they do their movies and TV stuff. So, fuck, I feel bad for all the actors out there now who are going to have to sit there and have to deal with Randy Pitchford. I wonder if in auditions he's going to start doing like magic tricks. He's going to make Mark Wahlberg sit there and go, pick a card, any card. I don't know what he's going to do. But apparently Steve Jones, their chief technology officer, will be taking over the running of Gearbox Software, which is their game side of things. He'll be taking over as president of that side of things. What do you think of Randy?
You're not fucking weird, Steve.
Yeah, well, Steve Jones. That sounds like a fake name. It sounds like
it does, doesn't it?
It sounds like a made up alias. I'm sure he's probably a Russian sleeper agent for sure. I don't know. Do you think it's good that Randy might not have his finger as so much in the video game pie anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't care less about their movies and whatnot. I think there's a Borderlands movie on the way. Mm-hmm. I heard some stuff in the past about their casting and whatnot. Couldn't care less. Not interested in it at all. So you know what?
Mm.
do your worst, man. Do what you want. Just don't fuck with the games anymore. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, I just hope it means that we're not going to have to see him as much whenever there's a new game coming out. I just remember during Borderlands 3, just every event, they just trot him out. And it was just, it was always a disaster. Like, I remember the Borderlands 3 reveal. He was, like, doing magic tricks and he was up on stage for, like, an hour. And it just felt like... It felt like there was like a 8-year-old kid. Like you're over at your friend's house and they have a kid and the kids come up with like some show that they want to do. And like no one wants...
Pay attention to me.
Exactly, exactly. No one wants to watch the show, but you do it just to make the kid happy because, you know, the kid's having a good time. And I feel like that's it. We're all just sort of trapped in Randy Pitchford's magic show that he's doing. He's just having... A good old laugh. Yeah,
so. Spoiler alert, that's the whole fucking Borderlands movie. It was just an hour and a half of magic tricks.
The entire cast is just sitting in the audience and just clapping. It just cuts to them just laughing every now and again. Oh, shit. I'll see the Borderlands movie. Sure. Why not? I'm pretty sure it's got... what's her name? Australian actress. Oh, shit. Oh, what's her name? I think she was in... Cate Blanchett. I'm pretty sure Cate Blanchett's in it.
Oh, really?
I think.
Oh.
I could be wrong. I think I might be getting that wrong.
She's the siren lady.
I know that... I know... Oh, God, it's not coming up. I know that... I know Jack Black's going to be... What's his name?
Claptrap.
Yeah. Which is interesting. Yeah, Cate Blanchett is Lilith.
There you go.
So yeah.
She's a siren, is she?
Yes. Lilith was main cool person in 3.
Yeah.
One of the standout characters in 2, I think. Kevin Hart as Roland. I don't know about this. I'll see it. I think it'll be fun to see. Oh, God. Randy Pitchford. He's probably going to be in the credits. There you go. Oh, Randy. Bloody getting into it. Moving over from some more good news. And the good news here is that it's somebody's leaking time. We have some leakage. It is time for somebody's leaking. This article comes out of Eurogamer. It was written by Ed Nightingale. Twitch's source code appears to have been leaked by an anonymous hacker, including streamer payout reports. A 126-gigabyte torrent has been uploaded to 4chan, describing the Twitch community as a disgusting, toxic cesspool. They're probably not the most wrong about that. The intention for the leak is to foster more disruption and competition in the online video streaming space. According to the 4chan post, the leak reportedly includes the following. The entirety of Twitch.tv with commit history going back to its early beginnings. Mobile, desktop, and video game console Twitch clients, various proprietary SDKs and internal AWS services used by Twitch, no idea what the fuck they are, every other property that Twitch owns, including IGDB and CurseForge, an unreleased Steam competitor from Amazon Game Studios, Twitch SOC internal red teaming tools, creator payout reports dating back to 2019. The 4chan post also included the hashtag DoBetterTwitch hashtag. A similar hashtag was originally set up by marginalized streamers to push Twitch to improve safety measures on the platform and prevent hate raids. Users have now begun sorting through data on the torrent, including publishing streamer revenue numbers. The 4chan user also states that this is only part one of the leak, with presumably more data to share at a later date. Twitch users are advised to change their passwords, set up two-factor authentication, and reset their stream key to protect their data. We can confirm a breach has taken place, Twitch said in a message posted to Twitter. Our teams are working with urgency to understand the extent of this. We will update the community as soon as additional information is available. thank you for bearing with us, and thank you for bearing with me in that pretty lengthy article there. But there's a lot to go over. Roger, have you updated your password on Twitch and enabled two-factor authentication?
Of course, man. It's a worry, man. I don't want people to find out how much I've been earning on Twitch, you know, when I was streaming it. Nah, man. I'm, as you know, not really active on Twitch anymore. I never really got into watching Twitch so much. I kind of was into it a little bit more when I was streaming, but yeah, Twitch is a weird place, bro. Twitch is a weird fucking place.
Mm.
So, oh, just to clarify as well, so you mentioned before you didn't know what SDK and AWS stands for.
Mm.
So SDK stands for suck dick knobs, and AWS is already wiener sensation.
Oh, okay. You know, it's funny because I wanted to say that, but I didn't want to sound stupid. And I should have just trusted my instincts. I should have just said it, and I would have come across really smart. Ah, there's always next time.
Real question is, why is that torrent so fucking big? 126 gigabyte is like a Call of Duty update. That's huge.
Yeah, that's like half of my current SSD. That's a lot of space. That is for sure. It is the entire source code for Twitch. It is including all of Twitch, basically. So, yeah, if anyone ever wants to figure out how to hack Twitch, I'm not suggesting people do that, but they literally have the fucking roadmap to go and hack Twitch and do whatever the fuck they want. Not to mention just people's privacy. Apparently, so far, it hasn't been people's passwords and stuff like that. But, you know, as it says in this article, and I would recommend it, go change your password and whatnot, because, you know, even if your Twitch password does get leaked, you know, big deal. It's just your Twitch. You just watch shit on Twitch, whatever. But think about it. What if you've used that password for something else as well, too? Now, that other account is at risk. You know, just be careful. That is for sure. A lot of the, you know, as far as the Twitch streamers' earnings getting reported, you know, I don't know, if they care about it, it's, you know, sucks for them, but if they don't care, you know, also, you know, who cares? It's just finding out that we already knew they were making bank, you know, big surprise, Pokimane's loaded, of course. She does great numbers. They all do. Yeah, it's a weird story. It's one of those weird stories where, you know, I never agree with hacking. Hacking's always wrong, but obviously I do sympathize in that, you know, I feel like Twitch and Amazon does have a bit of a monopoly on streaming. There are alternatives, but those alternatives right now just aren't quite as viable. They do really have a chokehold on streaming. I can't remember what the exact numbers, but something stupid, it's over 50 or 70%. Fucking, I'm talking out my ass here. I can't remember the stat, but Twitch makes up for a majority of streaming out there. It is the big dog in the room, and so they kind of set the standard. And so far, they just haven't seemed to really have done enough to sort of combat things like hate raids and problems like that. That's why, yeah, the hashtag Twitch do better even started in the first place. But yeah, look, hacking's never great. I hope that they don't release people's personal information. I don't think that would be great. That'd obviously be fucking awful. It's weird story. Another story leaving me with a weird feeling. I don't know. Can you sympathize with the hackers at all, Roger? I guess if you're a bit out of the loop of Twitch, maybe you don't really care quite as much. I don't know.
Sometimes it's for a good cause. This just seems malicious. I don't think that's the way to get what you want out of it.
Yeah.
To foster more disruption and competition in the online video streaming space.
Mm.
I don't think that's really helping anyone. I don't think Twitch is going to look at that and go, look, good for you. This is really what we needed. So now we're going to get our shit together. And you know what I mean? It's kind of like just fucking submitting to fucking terrorists. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I think it's just, do not. Just take the non-negotiation tact with them. Treat them that way. I see. Look, yeah, I agree. It's not the right way to go about it. 100%, you're right. And it kind of worries me to think what could be in these other three parts that they say that they still have to come. Yeah. I dare say there's going to be... They're going to have people investigating this for sure. It's going to be very interesting to see what ends up coming out of all this in the future weeks.
Interwebs, bro. Interwebs.
Oh, that interwebs being that interwebs. But yeah, some interesting leakage though, that's for sure. Twitch people be making that money. Everyone, get your two-factor. Change your passwords. That's the moral of the whole thing. Oh, you know that there... There's a bunch of games coming up, Roger, because the games just aren't stopping right now.
I still think you're lying.
Oh, there's games coming. yeah, there's games coming this week, but nothing I give two fucking shits about. Oh, maybe I'll play this first one. As far as the games coming up in the following week, we have October 12th, Back for Blood coming out. It's coming to all platforms, except for Google Stadia and Switch. And I believe it's crossplay that one as well. Roger, do you see yourself picking up Back for Blood?
No. I played the beta when that was on a couple of months ago, I want to say. I was like, look, this is cool in the sense that it's an updated version of Left 4 Dead. That's all it really is. It's an updated Left 4 Dead. And... I'm not paying, what is it, like $80 for it?
Yeah.
Not a chance. When I can get my hands on that for, you know, $20-$30 down the road when I have nothing to play. Yeah. At the moment, you know, if I want to play that sort of shit, I've got, what's that game called? Fucking World War Z, which kind of does similar stuff. And I've got Left 4 Dead.
Yeah. So,
I was really hoping for... Yeah, more innovation in that game. It's really... And look, it's not a bad thing. It's just... That's really what it is. It's an updated version of Left 4 Dead. Mm. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, I gave that beta a try as well. And I remember us having just massive dramas trying to get into a match together. It just didn't work. And that was playing across three different platforms. We had Aaron on Xbox, Lockie and his brother... playing on PC, and then Hunter and I'm on PS5 and Hunter was on PS4. So we were all on separate platforms. And yeah, we just couldn't get into a match together. But then when Hunter and I just played on our own, both on the, obviously on the PSN, that worked fine. But yeah, I was just like, oh, okay. It's like zombies, like Call of Duty zombies, but you just keep moving. Okay, all right, it's maybe a bit more of a focus on teamwork. Okay, all right, fine, it's a zombie game, cool. But then it's like, you know, I'll speak to, and this is gonna be very disappointing for regular guests on the show, Aaron, because he's a Left 4 Dead diehard. He just, you know, he bleeds green, he loves his Microsoft, and Left 4 Dead was just one of his favorite titles on the old Xbox console, and he loved it. It was like, you know, it was like I guess it would have been what it was like for me playing Ratchet and Clank, the remake that came out in 2016, because it's like going back to a game that you love, but like with this fresh coat of paint on it. And for me, I loved it. I thought it was bloody fantastic, but I don't know. For me, not having that, not having previously played that, I didn't have that here. I didn't feel that nostalgia for it. So it was just like...
Interesting comparison. I mean, I suppose I get where you're coming from.
I guess there was a bigger gap in between those, though. Because, I guess what? Left 4 Dead 2 was in... Oh, no, that was like 2011, wasn't it?
You know what? Here's why I disagree with that comparison, right? Ratchet and Clank, you're talking about, it's kind of, you know, there's different levels, different biomes, and, you know, you learn different skills as you go, different guns, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Left 4 Dead is very much like the same gameplay loop. Like it gets repetitive in a good way because it's a fun gameplay loop, but there's not that much to talk about. You get into the level, you pick your guns, and you go shoot some zombies and get to point B, which is the safe room. Everyone's in the safe room. Cool. Levels over. You get the recap of your fucking score and whatnot, and safe room opens up again. You get to the next section and so on. Like, it's, yeah. And again, I don't mean that in a bad way at all. It's a fun gameplay loop, but I'm just having trouble with the value proposition here. Like, if that was, that came out for like $50, I probably would have grabbed it, because it's a fun co-op game. I had fun playing it, but it's just like, I look at it and I go, I can play Left 4 Dead 2 right now. And, you know, you can pick it up right now for like, what would it be, like $10, I'd say. And yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's more the price that I'm having trouble with, honestly.
Yeah, like I feel like the $60 price point would have been perfect with this game. Like, and I know for, you know, people in America who are listening, that's, you know, their regular price point. But in Australia, that's like 40% off for us. Like, that's like what I paid for Kena, which I thought was a good price for a game like that. And yeah, it would have been sort of a good mark maybe for Back 4 Blood. But, you know, who knows? Maybe when it comes out and it's fully released, people are going to be frothing over it and they're going crazy. We'll have to wait till October 12th, but I know I will not be playing it. But Aaron will, so we'll be able to ask him what he thinks. Anyway, also on October 12th, we are having Monster Crown come out, an action RPG coming to PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Nintendo Switch. We're having The Rift Breaker come to PS5, Xbox Series X, and PC on October 14th. Crisis Remastered Trilogy is coming out October 15 to PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Nintendo Switch. Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, The Hinokami Chronicles. Holy shit, that's a title. It's coming to all platforms except for Google Stadia and Switch. And NHL 22 is coming to PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X, and Xbox One. Nothing I could give two shits about. Honestly, I don't think there's anything coming out in the next couple of weeks that I care about at all until Guardians of the Galaxy, and that I am so tepid on. I'm not that excited for that one at all. Is there anything on the horizon that has you interested at all, Roger?
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I'm pretty sure I was on this show a while back and talked about Monster Crown in Early Access.
I thought that name was familiar, but then I know we've talked about Monster Train on the show before. There's been lots of games with monster and there's Gods and Monsters, which got changed to Immortals Fenyx Rising. Lots of monsters in titles. Monster Energy Supercross.
I know. I've talked about it. I have no doubt about it. But I'm pretty sure I've talked about it on your show.
Oh, okay. So is this one to watch out for, Monster Crown? Did you enjoy it when it was in Early Access?
Look, I played it. It was super, super early access, but it was cool. It does some stuff that, you know, I wish Pokemon did, and I think that was the whole idea of just changing that formula a little bit, because obviously it's been the same shit since fucking 1995 or whenever it was that Blue and Red came out.
Oh, is this the one where you do the weird slave contracts with the monsters?
Yeah, that's the one.
It's all coming rushing back to me. It's like, yeah, I'm going to beat that's you up one. And then sign here, be my friend. I remember.
Yes. That is the one indeed.
I'm curious to see, the reviews look okay. 92% positive, 7 out of 10. It seems like sort of positive.
Because it's a tiny as fuck team Kickstarter game as well. So to be released on, you know, multiple platforms, that sort of thing, that's, I imagine, a good thing. So good on them. I'll probably update the game on Steam and give it another crack, because I've paid for it. I don't think they're going to charge me again for it. So wouldn't hurt to give it another crack. The other thing is, question for you, Zach, are you interested in anime at any capacity?
I have tried. Okay. I've, for anime fans out there Look, I haven't tried anime as in, like, you know, just watching straight up anime, but I've tried JRPGs and games that very much feature a lot of anime sort of styles and narrative tropes. And yeah, I can't get into it. Final Fantasy nearly destroyed me.
No. The reason why I'm asking that is I reckon, my personal opinion, there are two animes out there that I reckon would appeal to non-anime lovers.
Okay.
First one would be Attack on Titan. Mm-hmm. I know heaps of people that don't give a fuck about anime, but will watch the shit out of Attack on Titan.
Mm.
The other one is called Demon Slayer. It is fucking fantastic.
Okay.
It's only 26 episodes of the show, the first season. Season two actually kicks off tonight. There's also a movie which I've watched, I think, 3 or 4 times. It is fucking fantastic.
Mm.
So the game that's coming out next week actually follows the narrative from the show, and it looks very authentic to the show, which is fucking beautiful.
Okay.
So yes, I'm fucking keen for that.
Okay. Okay.
Give it a crack. It's on Netflix. When you get the chance, check out the first episode if you have any sort of interest. It's a very interesting narrative, very interesting plot.
Roger, if you say it's a good starting point for dipping my toes in the old weeb pool, then I'll give it a crack. How many episodes are we talking before it's going to be like it's hooked? It's not one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, you just got to watch the first 15 episodes and then you'll like it. Because I'm not
into
that.
No. I watched the first episode and I was like, okay, let me watch the next one. And I finished that shit in a week, okay, which is something that I never do.
Okay. Is it one of those shows where you want to watch... because I've heard in some animes they can just have, like, completely filler episodes and you can, like, watch them with guides so that there isn't filler episodes?
No. It's literally the first season is, like I said, I think 24 or 26 episodes.
Okay.
It moves along at a solid pace.
Okay.
It's the ones that are the weekly Shonen Jump, whatever they're called, like Naruto, where there's fucking 400 plus episodes and whatnot, and like you wouldn't watch half of it because they're just fillers. Nah, it's none of that. It's good quality animation, awesome storyline. It's solid all the way through.
Okay, well, it sounds solid, but I'm gonna have to give you the softest of promises to watch that because I'm not making any guarantees that I'll check that out.
Hey, look. The cool thing is, if you don't feel like watching the show, you could potentially pick up the game and play the same story.
Ooh, I saw the gameplay and I was like, oh, this looks like...
Not a fan?
Everything that I hate about JRPGs and just this style.
It's not a JRPG, though.
Video game. I know it's not a JRPG. It's like an action whatever.
It's a fighting game. It's like arena fighting game.
Yeah, I didn't see anything that looked exciting to me. I don't know. Yeah, I'll be keen to hear what you think when it comes out. But for me, yeah, nah.
I'm biased as fuck because I fucking love that shit.
Okay.
It's CyberConnect. They've done the Naruto games.
Mm.
I fucking love them to death. So I know what I'm in for. Like,
okay.
I know I'm
gonna love it. All right. I'm not familiar with the developer or their pedigree. So okay, interesting. Nice. Oh, well, there you go. So that's it for the news and the games coming up in the next week. Oh, and just briefly before we do get into the games that we've been playing, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawler game that Lockie and I have mentioned a few times in the last few episodes was released last week, the week we just had. But for some reason, there was a physical delay, and I don't know if this was only in Australia, but I'm having to wait till 11th of November for my PlayStation 5 copy to come in. I could purchase it off the PlayStation store, but nah, fuck that. Like, I'm not buying it digitally. I'm going to get it cheaper if I buy it physically. I'm in no rush to get it. But I have heard it's obviously not quite as polished as Smash. I don't think there's any surprises there. But I've heard that there's no voice acting in it, which I think is a massive misfire.
What?
Yeah, there's like... it baffles me because either, you know, you just get people to do imitations because they've only got to do like little lines. They don't have to do like massive spouts of dialogue. They literally just have to say one or two things when they're smacking a character. But they could have just used the audio from the actual shows themselves. They have all the voice lines there. Like you have Nigel saying smashing over and over again, continuously. And yeah, you don't get to hear it in the game. So that's baffling to me.
What do you hear then?
They just like make little. I just hear the smacking noises and just the music. But yeah, apparently it's a little bit buggy and there's some characters that are just completely broken. So maybe wait for a sale on this one or just, you know, hold out a little bit until they fix it up a little bit. But so far, Jesus. Like a lot of people have had a lot of praise for it. They've said it's a lot of fun. Okay. despite these issues, and apparently it's got a rollback netcode, which is what Guilty Gear Strive used. And I remember Paul from the Inconsolables being on the show and just raving about how good rollback netcode was, because apparently the way it works is it makes it feel like you're playing a game with someone who's sitting right next to you, even though you're playing online, and that's even with shitty Australian internet as well too. So yeah, there's some things that it does pretty good, and Smash doesn't have rollback netcode in it, so there's one benefit it has that Super Smash Ultimate doesn't have. But yeah, wow. they gotta add in voice acting, they really do.
Wow that's crazy.
Yep. And there's so much news this week. I forgot to mention that the Grand Theft Auto Trilogy Remaster, which we've talked about on the show being rumored before, that's been confirmed, so it's coming. So I couldn't give two shits if it was a remake. Oh fuck, take my money.
What was it? It's 3, Vice City and San Andreas.
The 3D trilogy. And yeah, they're gonna make some touches to make it a bit more modern, but I don't know how you that the whole game was designed that really old school control scheme of like locking onto the enemies. I don't know how you fix that. I don't know.
Who's that for? Who asked for this?
Yeah, bloody Rockstar's shareholders, Take-Two shareholders. They certainly.
I imagine anyone who's keen on this is surely balls deep into fucking Grand Theft Auto 5 Online.
Mm.
Right, like
yeah, and the thing about this that baffles me about this as well too is like, yeah, there's like a whole generation that these games are 20 years old now. There's a whole generation that hasn't played these games before, but these remasters, like they're gonna play these and be like, what are these ancient as fuck archaic games that I'm playing? Like
you can play it on your mobile.
Yeah, they've been on mobile. Yeah, you're right. Like, and I guess if they haven't blown up there, why is it going to blow up? Because they're doing some remaster. Mm. Like, these games, like, for people out there who haven't played them, they've got the old flipper hand so their fingers, like, don't separate. You know what I mean? Like, it looks really bizarre.
Super weird.
Oh, God. So much interesting stuff to talk about this week. November 11th, we'll talk about some Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl on the show. Probably get drunk some anyway. But yeah, we have so much stuff to get to in impressions. Oh my God, I'm so pumped. Let's take a quick break and then we'll jump back on in with the games that we've been playing. Now, Roger, normally our guests will get us kicked off with gaming impressions, but I have so much stuff that I've played around with this week to cover. I don't know, I figure we may as well just get some of my stuff quickly out of the road.
I'm not really a guest at this point anyway.
Exactly.
It's all good.
You're a co-host today. we've just been auditioning people to replace Lockie. That's why Aaron took over one week as well too. We've had Sam take over. Like, yeah, look out, Lockie. People are gunning for your job, bro. It's happening. Oh, but to get us kicked off, on Friday, I picked myself up my very first Nintendo console. I've never in my life owned a Nintendo home console. I owned a Game Boy when I was a wee one. I got one for Christmas. I had a Game Boy Color. And I bought myself a pre-owned 2DS just to play the Pokemon games, the 2DS Pokemon games. But that's it. Outside of that, I've never owned a Nintendo console. All the times that I've covered the games before on the show was just through the luck that my awesome housemate Chris, who has now moved out, I used to be able to use his Switch all the time because he never used it. So Now that he left, I've had to buy my own one, but hey.
That's insane.
Look, at the end of the day, I am happy with my purchase because I already liked the Switch as a console and as a concept. It's great, you know, it's your home console, plus it's your handheld as well. But, you know, I'll keep things brief here because if you've got a Switch, you basically already know what you're getting. This has 0.8 inches bigger screen. Have a look at your Switch if you own one currently. Imagine a little bit more of that black border to 0.8 inches to be exact. Imagine that's just taken up by more screen. That's your OLED Switch right there. That's the size difference you're looking at. It is not massive.
Is the size of the console itself bigger?
So, no, it's still the same size, I believe. Yeah, because the Joy-Cons fit in the exact same way, and it still fits in all the exact same cases. Even I've used a regular Nintendo Switch tempered glass cover on the screen. It still covers it. So it's all the exact same size. They already had that black border there, and they've decided just to fill it up, basically. that's about it. The stand is a little bit better. It goes, and like you'll be able to see here, Roger, it goes across the entire back of the Switch now, rather than just being that flimsy one little part there. And I'll say, compared to a normal Switch, like I like the finish on the back of it better. It's like a bit of a matte finish. It feels a little bit nicer. The quality feels a little bit nicer. The buttons are slightly different. On top, they're a slightly different shape, and apparently the vent has more sort of fins in it now, so it's a little bit sturdier. I know it's a lot of people have had issues with the vents breaking. Shout out to Sam. She has a pre-owned one, and that's completely broken there, that vent at the top.
Oh, shit. Wow.
The battery life isn't better. The storage space is a bit bigger. It's like a 64 gig as opposed to like 32 or whatever it was, so it's like double the storage space that's already on there, but still not enough that you won't need a micro SD if you want to hold a whole bunch of games. But the one massive improvement, but the biggest improvement is the OLED screen. So if you're like me and your main Nintendo Switch playtime is playing it handheld, you're going to get a lot out of this. And I much prefer to play it handheld. The Switch, I prefer to play for those games that are like, you know, 2D side-scrollers or, you know, top-down dungeon crawlers like Hades, you know, roguelikes. That's what I like on a Switch, you know, it's not a powerful console. I save my open world action games for the PlayStation 5. That's where I want to play that stuff. So a lot of the stuff I'm playing here, I don't really need to be really extremely invested in. It's all stuff that I'd like to be able to play in the background or like, you know, in quick spurts on my lunch break or something like that. So the OLED is kind of perfect for me in that sense. Like, I don't already own a Switch, and it has a better screen for handheld. And I've played some Metroid Dread, and it looks fantastic on that screen. And then I popped it in the dock and popped it up on the big screen. And then I remembered why I very rarely play games docked, because it looks like fuck, especially after playing a PlayStation 5 now. That's like my main console I play. Fucking Christ. It looks like fucking shit. Feels like going back to playing PS2. It looks like, and then, you know, after a little while, I got used to it. It's not too bad. And I'm sure people will play Metroid and be like, it's fine. It looks great. But I don't know. Like, it's not amazing. But on that OLED, it looks bloody lovely. It really does. But yeah, if you already own a Switch, that it is not worth the extra money that you're paying. And I paid, in Australia, this was $539 I paid for this. It's a fair price point. Like, you know, an extra $210 and you got yourself a PlayStation 5, you know, something
with
that...
With no game?
Sorry?
With no game? That's not a bundle?
That's with no game, my friend.
Fuck, man.
Yeah. Nintendo, honestly, they can sell fucking anything. They just got to slap Nintendo on there at this point. Other than the Wii U, apparently they couldn't sell that. But yeah, the Switch, yeah, they can. So look, if you already own yourself a Nintendo Switch, then I would have to give this a review score of like, I don't know, 2 joys out of 12 cons because it's just so unnecessary. You know, the speakers are slightly better, the dock's slightly better. It all feels like a little bit designed, but it all kind of feels like how maybe the Nintendo Switch should have launched, if that makes sense. Like, it just... It just feels a bit, the quality feels a bit nicer and everything looks like a bit nicer designed. But yeah, like, is it worth buying if you have another one? No, definitely not. But for me, for the enjoyment I've already had with it, just playing myself some Metroid Dread and whatnot, I would have to give it 12 HDs out of 20 rumbles. I love Nintendo Switch as a console. If you don't already own one, you know, fucking, I reckon, you're going to play mostly handheld, I'd say the OLED Switch is the Switch to get. But if you're going to play docked a lot of the time, there's no point really at all whatsoever. Yeah, I don't know, Roger, did you feel any need at all to pick up an OLED Switch?
I watched the reveal. And I just laughed. Yeah. I just laughed. To be honest, I'm really curious to see how many people out there are like you and don't actually have a Switch, right? Like, this thing has sold fucking millions of units over the years, right? Who I suppose needs one and doesn't have one already? Because like you said, if you have one, I don't see the point of investing in this. I think it's still like, I know someone crazy enough to voluntarily want to trade their old Switch and get that one. Why? I'm not sure. But I think the deal that they have at EB Games is like $250. You pay on top of the trading,
which is not worth it for the upgrade that you're getting, I think, at all. No. Maybe if your Switch is getting really old and you kind of, like, you know, it's to the point where it's kind of due for an upgrade with anyway. It.
Sure.
But even then, that's like, it's a lot to fork out. Like, really, you can just get yourself a new set of Joy-Cons and you it's like a refresh Switch anyway. Like, it's not going to make it run
price
better.
Point is... Yeah. So, yeah, I really don't get it. I'm really curious to see how this system sells. Yeah. Because, yeah, like you said, it a lot of it is stuff that should have been... And look, whatever, maybe... I mean, let's be honest. That stand is fucking rubbish. the one from the original Switch. Yeah, but like, it's not like, why did you not have that in the first place?
Yeah.
Who thought of that?
Yeah. I got to say, though, like, I'm never going to use the fucking stand. Like, I don't know who sits the Switch down and then plays with the Joy-Cons detached anyway. Yeah. Like if I'm going to do that, I'm just going to dock it. Like, why would I? Anyway, I guess if you're one of the people in the Nintendo ads who are like at a basketball court and they decide to sit down and play it.
Is this what you do at a basketball
court? Yeah, play some NBA 2K 2022, or when you're at a party on a rooftop, you know, you pull out your Switch and
exactly.
Start playing Mario Odyssey with your friends. That's what we all do. No, look, I'm happy I bought it just because I like the Switch, and I'm glad I finally own my own one, you know what I mean? It's cool. I've got my console to play a lot of indies now. I'm loving Metroid Dread, you know, 2D Metroidvania, obviously. It's a Metroid game. So more of Metroid Dread next week. I'm still really early on, and I've got a ton of stuff to talk about, so I think I'll leave Metroid Dread to next week.
Just to add on top of the heap of stuff that you have to talk about already, because I just didn't think it was enough, so I want to add some more. Question for you. Why this and not a Switch Lite? If you're playing handheld.
Because I like to have the option of having it docked as well too for like multiplayer and stuff like that, because one of my favorite things about the Switch is playing games like Smash Brothers and cool. You know, bloody you know, Mario Kart and, oh god, Super Mario Party All-Stars, whatever the fuck it is called, is coming out in a month or two. I'm gonna be playing the fuck out of that. So yeah, basically just for the multiplayer. I do like to test the games out docked as well too, just to see what they what they look like. And, you know, there's some mm-hmm. Switch games that I'd say are better played docked, like Super Mario Odyssey, I'd say is better played docked. Breath of the Wild is probably better played docked as well. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Monster Hunter Rise worked a lot better docked. So, yeah, I like having that option. But, like, realistically, I probably could do with a light. Like, it'd be fine. But, yeah, I like to have all me shiny features, that's for sure. But, yeah. Also, because it was something to cover for the show. Otherwise, you know, I don't know if I would even buy it at all, really. to be honest, yeah, like, I don't... If I didn't do this show and I didn't want to cover Switch games, but, like, I like to be able to cover Switch games, it just gives me a whole lot more to cover there. PlayStation isn't always coming out with the goods, but, God, now I have a PC as well, too. Oh, there's so much stuff to cover. And speaking of stuff to cover, sometimes, just a lot of the time, just doing this podcast is an absolute joy because I get to cover games that I may not have picked up if it weren't for the fact that I was doing this podcast. And Deathloop is certainly one of those. I'm not a massive Arcane fan. Dishonored 1 and 2, not my most favorite games of all time. I thought they were okay. And so Deathloop, I wasn't too excited for, but did it prove me wrong? I love Deathloop. It is so fucking good. And now I've finished it. I have completed Deathloop. I've run the entire loop. Oh, yes, I have. And so now I can sort of give my final thoughts on it. So, look, everything I said back in my more in-depth thoughts when I first covered it still stands. It still feels impeccable to play. I love playing around with all the different builds and all the different trinkets and all the different slabs and powers that you have to play with. The narrative I still really enjoyed. But, unfortunately for me, it does not land in the narrative department. So, now, I don't know if there are things that I just miss throughout the game or things that just the main story doesn't feed you directly, that's sort of made the ending feel a bit lackluster. But for me, it felt like there was so much stuff left unanswered at the end of this title. I was kind of left sort of just being like, oh, okay, that's it. All right, and for a game that the narrative I was enjoying so much, I found that to be a massive disappointment. And I won't get into my reasons why, because that obviously gets into really, really heavy spoilers there. But for me, the way the narrative sort of wound up, not the biggest fan. There was so much enticing stuff they fed through the title, but I feel like the game sort of had a great pace at the start, but kind of slowed down in the final 5 or 6 hours. It took me about 25 to 30 hours, I believe, to complete Deathloop in its entirety. And yeah, I found towards the last, like, maybe 6 or 7 loops, I did start finding to get a little bit monotonous. I was like, all right, I'm ready for this to be over. I'm ready just to mainline this, do what I got to do to break the loop and roll credits in this thing. Not to say that I wasn't having a fun time when I was doing it. I was, but just the narrative wasn't being fed quite as often, and I was starting to lose the drive sort of in that department. And yeah, so I finally completed the loop on Tuesday, and yeah, that meh ending was just meh. But, and there wasn't a lot of slabs in the end. I think they have about like 6 different slabs and powers that you can play around with, and a lot of them are just powers that you could use in Dishonored. So they have, like, you know, basically the blink ability they had for Dishonored. I can't remember what they call it in this. A lot of it is repeated. Nexus is an ability they basically had in that as well too, but that doesn't change the fact that I had an absolute blast playing through Deathloop. It was so much fucking fun. Like, I can't sing his praises enough. The game design is almost flawless, other than, like, you know, the progression towards the end there. It is so good. The sound design is amazing. The music is great. The voice acting is absolutely fantastic. The writing is, the dialogue is impeccable. Just that narrative just doesn't land it in the end there for me, which is very, very disappointing, to say the least. But Deathloop, I don't know, Deathloop, Roger, is it something that you have any interest in? Like, were you curious to pick it up, or do you think you might pick it up at some stage in the future?
Yeah, it's something I'll grab down the track from the bargain bin, I reckon. It's just the more time went on, the less interested I was.
Okay.
If this game came out when it was supposed to come out last year, I would have picked it up straight away. But yeah, I don't know. Like,
look, I think if you're tepid on it, wait for a sale. But definitely give this one a crack. For me, it's still one of my favorite titles of this year for sure. When we do, I'm sure during the holiday break this year, we're going to do another round two of News to Reviews Awards, whatever the hell we're going to be calling it. News to Reviews 2 Awards Electric Boogaloo or whatever the fuck. But yeah, it'll definitely be in the talks because I had so much fun with it and it was just such a massive surprise for me. It was only just that those little issues that with just the progression at the end and the narrative with how it lands that caused me any issues. Everything else, the gameplay and the dialogue and the characters, I fucking loved it. I really, really loved it. Deathloop, if you own a PS5, I definitely recommend it. If you own a PC, you have a nice rig, go for it. It's a fucking top title. I'd give Deathloop, 11 Julianas out of 13 Colts. So, yeah, I didn't like that ending there, but I had like 25 hours of so much fun with Deathloop. It was one of those games that just invaded my brain. I was obsessed with it for a while. I was stuck in the loop myself. And yeah, I recommend it for sure. Roger, I'd say just for you, wait for a sale just because you sound like you have plenty to play right now. But if it sounds interesting at all to anyone, I'd say give it a crack. You won't be disappointed. You'll have at least a good 15 hours with this. I almost guarantee it. It was great. Bloody Deathloop. So Deathloop gave us Black Reef, which was this new world for me to explore. But I believe you, Roger, have been exploring a new world as well.
What a Roger. Segue. I love that.
What have you been playing, mate?
As I was saying to you during the week, my playlist has consisted of some New World, a little bit of New World, bit more New World, and a whole lot of more New World. You know what? This is completely honest, right? So listeners maybe are not aware that you take a little break in between the start of the show and the segment at the end there. And I did think about it. If you didn't say you were going to be like a minute, I would have booted up the game and played for a few minutes because I think about this game all the fucking time. All the time. And look, if you haven't heard of it, like, what the fuck are you doing? It's a huge game, right? It's very ambitious. It's an MMO, so as you can imagine, it's a big world, lots of things to do. So lots of great things to love, but that also means there's lots of things to hate, potentially, right? I don't let that affect me because there's so much of it that I love. Mm. And when I say that, it's just one of those games where I just love being in that world. I just love being there. I think I was saying to you during the week, I literally, there was one session where Chris and I just sat there, talked shit for a solid hour, maybe two, and we were just fishing. We were literally just fishing in the video game. It was just a good time. Mm. It's just a good fucking time. So how the game is set up, it's set up like the explorers who are going to colonize America, but instead of being America, it's this new world where they've got this new kind of mineral. So yeah, you're trying to colonize this new world and mine this new mineral, whatever the fuck it is, called Azoth. It's this shiny blue liquid thing that you can use for all sorts of things. It's kind of a currency in the game as well, but it also corrupts things, or it leads to some sort of corruption turns things into zombies and whatnot, and they're like some of the enemies that you encounter throughout the game. So you're on a ship going towards this new world, and something happens. There's some sort of storm or some shit. I don't even remember. It feels like so long ago now, fucking 40 hours ago. And you end up just washing up on the shores of the new world. And you meet people there to give you the old fetch quest. You find new weapons and off you go. You do all sorts of MMO-like things. But, and look, I'm not a massive MMO guy. I haven't played that many. As you know, Zach, I've played a shitload of Elder Scrolls Online just because I love the narrative in that game. I didn't really play it as an MMO. I played it kind of as a single-player game, really, just for the narrative. I've never played any sort of PvP in that game.
Yeah.
In New World, I plan on getting to the PvP stuff, but I just want to really soak it all in, really take my time with it. I see people around the world. You can see their level on top of their heads, and there's people who have reached level cap already, which is fucking insane. The game's been out for 2 weeks in a couple of days. Hasn't been out 2 weeks yet. And I just, I'm not about that. Like, I understand it's, obviously you want to get to that certain level where you can do certain things and do end game stuff, do PvP stuff, but I just really want to take my time in that game. So what you do in the game, maybe I'll start with a little bit of the negatives to then move into the positives.
Okay.
The biggest negative, I reckon, would have to be that there's no mount in the game, which is very rare for an MMO.
Oh, okay.
So it forces you to walk everywhere, which is one thing, but they make fast travel an absolute pain in the ass. So you can fast travel from a fast travel point, which is pretty rare. There's not many of them around the world, or from another settlement, right?
Yeah.
And it costs you that currency that I talked about before, that mineral thing, the Azoth, which you can only carry 1,000 of at any given time. Now, that's not a huge deal in the sense that I'm always at cap. It's not hard to find. It's not hard to accumulate. Mm. So it's not a huge deal, but it is a bit of a pain in terms of you're trying to, and like I said, it's a fucking massive world. It's different territories, and you might start a quest and it sends you to the other side of the fucking map. And then you got to run back or try and fast travel if you find a point where you can fast travel from.
Okay.
So some little tricks that players have found is, for example, I was just going around harvesting these plants one time, and I see, I'm just across the river, and I see two people come towards me. And because everything is shared in the world, so if I harvest a plant, the next person will have to wait for that plant to respawn, right? So I thought they were coming towards me and trying to get that plant before me. They get into the water and then kind of just crouch and then go prone under the water. So their heads are under the water. There's two of them. So I look at them and I'm like, are they trying to like sneak up on me? I don't have PvP on, so you can't attack me. I don't understand what their plan is there. And I eventually realized that they just were trying to drown themselves. So then they would fast travel back to town.
Oh, okay. So they're not going to lose their resources and stuff by doing that?
No. So it damages the equipment that you have. So your weapons and stuff deteriorate when you use them over time. So it takes a bit of damage, which costs fuck all to repair. So there's little ways around it, but that part of the game is definitely painful.
Yeah, I heard. I was listening to PAX Radio earlier today, and the Inconsolables were on, and they had a Why Is This a Thing? It's like their, you know, their sort of wacky segment with funny stories, And apparently there's like in-game lore to explain why there's no mounts in New World. So there was some like note that that you can find that says something about how they try to domesticate donkeys and horses and they refuse to be domesticated. So to only doctors recommend you only carry what you can carry on your back, basically. This really dumb in-game explanation to try to explain why they don't have mounts, which I'm sure that note's going to disappear the moment they do an update and add mounts in at some point down the track, because surely they're going to have to add them at some point, right?
Yeah, I mean, you'd think so. Apparently, there's been talks of eventually adding them, but at the same time, when I first started playing it, it did bother me, right? It did definitely bother me. But now I think I kind of understand the decision behind it.
They didn't have it done. It's like an actual...
No.
They designed it to be that way.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, 100%. 100%. Okay. Because they could have just, you know, maybe increased the speed of running. It's not, you know, you don't have to have a mount. Maybe you add some sort of fucking, I don't know, some sprint option in there. But there's one speed and that's it. You have another speed, which is fucking crawling when you're over encumbered. But that's really it. So it's definitely a design decision. No question about it. But... the game is set up in a way where there's it's got some, I suppose, light survival things in there in terms of crafting. Crafting is a huge thing in the game. You basically fucking craft everything. You can craft your own armor, your own weapons, your own bullets if you're using the rifle, your arrows if you're using the bow, that sort of shit. You fucking craft everything. You can cook food. You can... make furniture for your house, that sort of thing.
Oh, so you can have a house and stuff. Ooh, yes. Okay, all right.
You can have your own house, like set it up the way you want. You're playing The Sims. You're arranging your furniture and whatnot. All right. So basically, for all these little things in the game, there's a leveling system.
Oh, okay. So you've got like fucking furniture building, or is it just building in general?
Yes. No, it's furniture building.
Oh, shit.
That's a skill. So they're called trade skills, and there's a whole fucking bunch of them. Mm. So you can basically line it up with your play style.
Mm.
Fishing is one of them. Cooking is another one. Wood cutting, just chopping fucking trees down, is another one.
Okay. So we're talking, this is kind of like, okay, so... We spoke about this before earlier in private message, and I was saying that I don't know why, but for some reason New World has me a little bit enticed. I don't know if it's just because I'm desperate to find something to play on my shiny new PC. I don't know what it is, and I think I'm looking for something to scratch that RuneScape itch. Or something like that, because I used to love that when I was in high school. I remember RuneScape. Me and my friends were obsessed with it for a little while. I remember even a couple of times, like convincing to be able to like pay for the RuneScape membership to like get the whole other part of the map that you could use and all that. And I remember one aspect of RuneScape is you kind of had to pick like a trade. You had to pick like a job. You had to get good at something, because that was how you made money, and that's how you get better armor. And I remember that one of the easiest ones to do is just to chop wood. So I was like, yep, fuck it. I'll get myself a good axe and I'll start chopping wood. And I remember I'd spend entire nights of my weeknights on school nights just chopping down yews, just getting yews so I can sell them on the bloody market and buy myself some bloody gear. And it sounds to me like there's a little bit of that going on here.
It's essentially, it's one of those games where like pretty much whatever you do, you get rewarded in a way somehow.
Yep.
For most things. There are some silly things. Like, for example, I'm trying to go for a more healer type of play style. So I've got what's called a life staff. That's the healing weapon. That's the only healing weapon in the game. And if I find someone, it's a fucking MMO, so you'd expect to run into random people around the world. And if I see someone who's who needs a bit of healing and I decide to be a good Samaritan and heal them, I get fuck all for it, which is a super weird thing to me. Like, yeah. I don't understand that. But if we're in the same party and I heal you, I then get points for it.
Okay.
Now, the way I see it, it if you're going to do that, wouldn't it be the other way around? Because if I'm doing it with a friend, I can potentially just milk it and just go, yep, just go get fucked up and I'll just keep healing you and you know, get a whole bunch of XP for it. So super weird decision.
Sounds to me like I guess you have that a lot with online games, like balance issues at the beginning, they're still working stuff out. Did they ever do a beta for New World, or did they just...
Yeah, so fun fact, New World was supposed to come out in May of last year.
That's right, it was delayed.
So it has been, it's been delayed a fuck ton. It had alphas, betas, definitely heaps of that. Yeah, I'd never played any of them. I just went in when the game came out. But look, it's great. There's those little things that can get annoying, I suppose, but not enough, not nearly enough to deter me whatsoever. And yeah, like I said, it's because of those little things, and that's the reason why the lack of fast traveling and the lack of mount does not bother me, because I'm at the point where, like, I'm doing all these different things, so I'm walking from point A to point B, and I'll always find something to do. In the middle and be like, hey, there's an iron vein there. I'm going to go mine that rock there. I'm going to cut down that tree. I'm going to harvest that plant. I'm going to fish for that special fish, whatever it is. There's always something to do. So if you're not into that and you're trying to just quickly level up so you can do whatever, then the PvP side of it, or the dungeon and trying to grind for that next weapon or whatever it is, then probably not for you. You know, there's other MMOs out there that are probably more suited for that sort of playstyle, I suppose. But it's definitely down my alley, man. So the more you level up those separate little skills, the more refined it becomes. So for example, I'm going for a more magic based crafting.
Oh yeah,
which is called Arcana in the game.
Always got
to
go mage.
I want to be able to, hell yeah, man. So I want to be able to craft my own life staffs and you know, keep getting better weapons as I go. And I forgot where I was going with this.
It gets more refined as you...
Yeah. So those little skills that I need to use, number one is harvesting, because I need to harvest those magic plants that I then break down and put into the crafting for those magic weapons, right? So I leveled up my harvesting so much that it now tells me on my compass what direction I need to go into to find those magic plants within a certain radius, of course.
Okay.
So because I've done the work, now I'm being rewarded. Now I can track those plants more easily, so it's less tedious.
Okay.
I can also harvest better plants, because you'll find, you know, if you're into woodcutting, you can cut down small trees, but the bigger trees you can't. You need to have your wood cutting at a certain level to be able to chop them down.
Okay, okay.
That sort of thing. So you always get rewarded the higher you go.
How,
it's the same with the crafting. Go on.
How about the does it have a main quest line that you're following as well too?
Yeah.
And how have you found that? Is the writing any good, or is it just typical MMO?
It's all right. Yeah, it's really kind of basic MMO stuff. There's corruption that's taken over the world. You need to do this quest line and become, I forgot what it's called, a soul. Something to do with souls. And then you,
corruption taking over shit is in everything at the moment. God, Kena has it. Horizon had it in the previous one. It's going to be in the next one as well.
It's definitely not what makes the game interesting.
Yeah.
There's that, but there's also the fact that everything in the game is run by players. Everything.
Okay.
So you go in, you will start in a random point around the map. I didn't know this going into the game. So you wash up on a different part of the shore depending on, I don't even know what it depends on, because Chris and I started at the same time. I started on one side of the map and started in one settlement. Chris was on the other side of the map in a different settlement. So you go into this, you end up in this township and you get the same quests, but it's a different settlement. So you have different NPCs in there. Yeah. So then what happens is those different districts will have to be run by what are called companies in the game. It's the equivalent of guilds in other MMOs, right? So you join a guild, the guild will sign up for a what's called a war, which is essentially a PvP match. I don't know how many players. It's pretty significant from what I've seen. They fight each other. The winning company then runs that area of the map. What that means is they control the taxes, what facilities get upgraded within the settlement. So we're talking Warcraft for my magic stuff, for example. Mm. I chose a settlement that's got their Arcana craft table at tier 4, which means I can craft the best shit using that Arcana craft table. If I went to a different settlement, I chose to prioritize their whatever it is, their fucking forgery or whatever, their forge, then yeah, I'm not winning there because that's not what I'm in for, right? So it's literally like they control the, because when you go to craft something, when you go to sell something, you have to pay taxes and that goes to the company. So they control how much they charge.
Fucking hell, that's getting complicated.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you don't want to get into it too much, you don't really have to. Like I'm not even part of a company at this point.
Okay.
We haven't got to that point yet. Okay. But it's essentially how shit gets sorted out.
Sorry, I was just saying, New World is just taking bloody the internet by storm. Like it's got what I think like over a million or a couple of million players or something ridiculous like that, over like 800,000 concurrents on Steam. It is bloody nuts. Like what do you think it is that's drawing people to New World over things like WoW or Final Fantasy 14? Like why does this stand out from the others?
I think it's just the freedom of being, like, there's so many different ways of playing it.
Okay.
Where you're still able to have fun. Like I said, like, I haven't touched the PvP where people go in to play a PvP. Awesome. Mm. I go in and literally, like, half an hour before we started the show, I was on there just fishing, dude. I was just literally sitting there trying to find stuff. And like I said, you get rewarded for it. You level up the fishing, you can get better fish. And that's another thing that's player controlled. You can't sell your stuff to NPCs. There's no, you know, quartermaster that you can go and sell your shit and make money. You put it in the trading post and then you set the price. You pay a listing fee that goes to that company, like I talked about before. And you have to wait for a player to actually buy your shit.
Okay.
It's all very interesting because it's all controlled by players.
Yeah, far out. It is bizarre. Like some of these elements just sound almost like, you know, with the, you know, landing like anywhere on the map sounds like almost kind of survival game-like, because, you know, Minecraft is another game that I think of that's like that. But then you still have like a main quest line that you're going through as well too. Bizarre. Like, is there any hand holding at the start? Like, is there tutorials to teach you how to do things at the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it like, so you're not just thrown into
No. And you could very well just not give a fuck about the whole company thing, the whole, you know, territory business and literally just do the main quest line. There's nothing wrong with that. And you'd be completely fine doing it. There's a shitload of side missions that you can pick up from different places. You eventually join what's called a faction, which is another thing again, which is kind of like that's what determines what sort of team you're in, I suppose. So there's three of them. There's a purple team, a yellow team, and a green team, and that's what determines, you know, what sort of territory you're in.
Okay.
So for example, if I go into purple one because I'm team purple, I get benefits from that.
Yeah.
that sort of thing.
Okay.
You can then get quests from them as well that are specific to your faction. It gives you a different kind of currency, which allows you to buy stuff that's specific to your faction. So because I'm Team Purple, I have purple armor on me, so people know what team I'm from, and so on. Don't have to do that, but again, you can basically play the however you want. And I haven't even touched on the classes, because there's no classes as such in this game.
Okay.
It's basically you choose what weapon you want to use. So you have different types of weapons. You have your typical sword and shield, if you want to play super basic, sword and shield. And you have two different skill trees for each weapon, which then, you know, you choose what sort of play style you want to play as. You then switch between, you can carry two weapons at once, and you can on the fly just switch between the two.
Mm.
So the way I play is I've got my life staff, which is a ranged weapon, also a healing weapon. And then when people get close to me, I'll switch to a rapier. So I can just do more kind of melee attacks. And yeah, again, two skill trees for each weapon. And the great thing is it lets you play around with it. It gives you 3 points at the start. You can put them in, you know, whichever tree you want. Play around with it. If you don't like it, it's free respec for, I think it's up to level 20. So you have all this time to play around and experiment with different play styles, use the different weapons. You're not locked in because you chose to put your points into the one weapon or the one skill tree. You're stuck with that. It really encourages you to try different things all the way through, which is awesome. Like I went through, I think, 4 or 5 different weapons until I found something that worked for me that I thought was fun and engaging.
Yes, I love that. It's
super cool, dude.
It's the same philosophy that Skyrim used, and I think it's one of the reasons why Skyrim is so popular is because, you know, if you decide all of a sudden, oh fuck it, I don't want to use a bow and arrow anymore, you can just be a mage, and like you don't have to make a new character. You just start doing mage things, and that skill tree will grow as you keep on using those abilities. Oh, I love that freedom. I think more games should have those kinds of upgrades and skill trees and systems like that. I think I've tried a few MMOs. I think I tried like DC Universe Online. I tried playing Final Fantasy 14. And I don't know. I don't know if it's just maybe consoles just not a great place to play these kinds of games. I tried Elder Scrolls Online as well too. I don't know. I just couldn't get into any of them, but maybe it was just because I was playing it with a controller, because I used to love RuneScape and I used to love those experiences. So I don't know, New World maybe I could get into. I dare say if you guys keep playing it, if I have people to play with, then I could find myself being a lot more enticed, because sometimes the fun of RuneScape was just, you know, I'd be playing and, you know, you'd meet players as you would play and you'd add those players to your friends list, and a lot of the time you'll get in and just people will be like, hey, what are you doing? I'll be like, I'm just cutting down trees. I'm like, oh, do you want to go fucking go kill people out in the wild here? And I'm like, oh, yeah, fuck it, I'm bored, all right, let's go do it, or whatever. Or just some people will be like, oh, fuck it, I need money, I'll come chop down trees with you or something like that. You just talk shit while you're doing that stuff. And yeah, as you said, just sort of exist in this world. And yeah, the PC is just a good place to play an MMO. They're designed for that. Like it feels like you're playing a PC game when you play them on a console. All these menus.
PC and Master Race, baby.
Sorry?
PC Master Race, baby.
Exactly. I've got a PC now. So yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling, I'll see how it goes. I'll see how I'm feeling in a little while. But like when I'm ready to dive right on in and like put a lot more time into it, when there's not so much to play because there's just so much to play right now, then I think New World could be on the cards. I don't know. A lot of the stuff I'm hearing, I'm liking.
You reminded me of a random story as well. And I promise I'll finish up.
No, oh, go for it.
So when I started fishing, so I made myself a nice little fishing rod.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself a little pond. And I decide to settle there, dip my toes in the water, cast out my rod. and here we go. I'm starting to fish.
I'm right. You're painting a picture here, Roger. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's very peaceful. No one else is around. It's just me in that little pond. And I start fishing, right? The first thing I catch is a snail. How would you feel? Right, you're going fishing, and what you get, the first thing you pull out of the fucking water is a snail.
I'll be like, well, there's my bait for when I throw it out again. Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Not happy.
Yeah, pretty much. I'll unhappy. Pretty accurate. And, you know, I'm like, you know, it's the first thing, whatever, I just started. As I said, you know, you level up your fishing skills. So I keep fishing for a while, and I'm keeping an eye on the global chat. And I see someone going, oh man, I can't believe how fucking hard it is to find snails in this game. I can't find a snail to complete that quest. And everyone's like, yeah, they're so hard to find, dude. Like, especially if you want to do that fishing quest. And I'm like, is it a different, like, is this a special kind of snail that they're looking for? Or so I write in the chat and I go, hey, I've got a snail if you want it. I'm just to help you out to finish your quest. And then someone else private messages me and goes, hey, do you still have that snail? Can I? And I get like five different people messaging me asking for my snail. I'm like, did I? Are you kidding me right now? Like, is this thing actually valuable?
Man, you've cornered the snail market, apparently.
Pretty much. So I messaged one of them, the first person that messaged me, and I go, hey, I've still got that snail. Do you want it? And he's like, yeah, man. How much do you want for it? I'm like, mate, I have no idea how much it's worth. Like, name a price. And he goes, 60 coins, which is, put it in perspective, the current quest that I'm doing at level, what am I, 23? I'm getting rewarded 50, 60 coins for completing a quest.
Okay.
So 60 coins is a fair bit in perspective, right? And he's offering me 60 coins. I'm like, whoa, shit. Okay, for that piece of shit snail that I pulled out, my first time fishing, I'm like, yes, sweet. And he's like, yeah, look, I'm just in the other town across the map. I'm just going to run to you. I'm like, yeah, man, that's fine. And he, yeah, soon enough gets to me and buys the snail off me. I'm like, I made more money selling that snail that I thought was worthless than any other fish that I ended up catching.
Wow. Far out. That's so weird, isn't it? The stuff that can gain value. I bet it's just like something with a low drop rate that you need for a quest or something like that.
It literally was. Yeah. So you find, I ended up finding that quest and I actually had some trouble finding snails myself later on. But yeah, it is a quest line that you have to do for this fisherman dude, and you get different pieces of armor as you go on. So you start with the boots and then the chest plate and the hat and whatnot. But yeah, the early parts is, yeah, go fish and catch a couple of snails or one snail and one clam or something. Oh. So that's what those people were doing. And that's why they needed the snail. And I was not looking for a snail at all. Oh. And that's the first thing I got.
There you go. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. If you're new to New World, hang on to your snails. That's a hot property right there. Oh, that's interesting. And one real quick question, and it's something that's really, I think, important for MMOs. How's the community been? Have you found that they've been so far been okay?
I want to say it's typical MMO stuff, I suppose.
Okay, there's so not great. Not amazing.
Not really. Like, you know, it depends, man. Like, there's all sorts of people. I don't want to, you know, put everyone in the same bucket here.
Yeah,
like,
okay,
it's different. Like, I like to think that I'm pretty nice and I'm part of that community, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, for example, another little anecdote for you. I was in the town. I'm shooting my life staff just for no reason. I'm not harming anyone. I think I was just, you know, clicking whatever, and someone from behind me starts shooting as well, right? So I turn around. You know, again, it's not doing anything. You can't harm other players unless they have their PvP thing on and they ask you to, you know, engage in a duel. So all I see is just those magic ball things fly past me. So I turn around and I see this dude quickly runs to the, like, behind this house, right? I'm like, okay, what the fuck? Mm. whatever. I turn around again, and I start doing my thing again, and he does it again. So I turn around again, and he runs off again, hides behind this house. So I go up to him, and he's, like, crouched behind the house and looks at me, and he starts jumping around, just, like, runs away. And I was like, that's so fucking random. But I was like, it just made me so happy because, you know, it's just, it's not scripted or anything. It's just completely fucking random. This dude's just, like, trying to play around with me and, like, playing fucking peekaboo with me.
Like, it's just he had like a peeping Tom in New World, apparently.
Yeah, it's just, I was just pissing myself, man. And then he just ran off and that's it. I've never seen him again. Yeah, it's just like these random things that happen, man. It's just, yeah, I fucking love it.
I don't know. Yeah, fun. Bloody Roger, I feel you've sold this game to me. Hey, like, I don't know if this stuff that you're saying would appeal to everyone out there, but I don't know. I think it's time. That's time I give something like, at least give something like this a go. So I think, you know, when things start to quiet up, maybe after Guardians of the Galaxy or something like that, there'll be a bit of a lull there and I'll give this a crack. I don't know, but yeah, New World sounds bloody enticing. Do you think you have a review score for New World, or is it too early, you think, at this point?
Look, I'm 40 hours in, but I've done, you know, barely anything in the main quest line, I reckon. I've done a bit, but a lot of side shit. Like, I reckon a quarter of my time has been spent fishing or harvesting random plants. Like, I literally just walk around, just soak it all in. Mm. It's beautiful environments. Just, you know, going hunting for shit, just shooting fucking turkeys.
Mm.
Like, that's another thing. Like, I just picked up a rifle, even though it's not my weapon of choice, but I'll just have it just so I can, you know, just go hunting.
Mm.
Just go around, just shoot turkeys, shoot fucking rabbits and whatnot. I just go in and have a good time, man. It's just a good time. I just love my time in it whenever I'm in there. Every excuse I have... On my lunch break, during the week, I'll jump on there and just spend half an hour, whatnot. I just love being in that world, man.
Yeah.
I don't completely understand your review scale.
Oh, there's no sense to it whatsoever. Just go whatever is whatever you feel in your heart or not. Whatever the fuck you want to do, man. The review scale is completely meaningless in its entirety.
I'm gonna go 69 zooms out of 75 meetings.
Okay, far out. That'd be so poetic if Amazon owned Zoom, which maybe they do, I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe it's been leaked in that fucking Twitch hack.
But yeah, it sounds like, yeah, you're very, very positive on New World. And like, considering you're someone who's like, you know, loved Elder Scrolls Online, it's a pretty big commitment to move from one MMO to another one. Yeah, it's cool that you're digging it, that's for sure. Bloody oh. So who would you recommend New World for? What would you say, people who are new to MMOs or people who are sick of World of Warcraft? Who's this game directed at?
I've seen a lot of people jump from WoW to this.
Okay.
Well, as you said, it's incredibly popular.
Mm.
When the game first came out, I was there at 9 PM when the servers opened, and the queues were fucking horrendous. And it was like that for the first maybe 5-6 days. They didn't anticipate being that popular.
How long are we talking?
I've once waited, I think, 2 hours the first time. So literally, Chris and I jumped on at about 9:30.
Yeah.
Created our characters, and I thought the game crashed, but it was actually putting me in a queue. And we talked for, I think we got in at about 11 to get into the game for the first time.
Wow.
And yeah, it was terrible for the first week or so. Mm. So what people would do, including myself, I would, you know, I'm anticipating I'm going to play at 8 PM. I'll jump on at 6, queue up, and when I'm in, I'll just do the old fucking auto run. So then I'm in the game. I don't have to queue up again. Sure, I've taken someone else's spot. He probably could have been playing while I'm not ready to play just yet. But, you know, I don't have time to wait. I have very limited play time. I want to be able to play when I want. So, but look, I haven't had to queue since I think last Saturday or last Sunday. You're just getting straight away now. So they've done a couple of things like they've limited the amount of people who can enter a server now. So you can't make a new character in the server that I'm in at the moment. And they've also extended the capacity as well.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. So, and I've heard they've made it so you can't create new characters on those older servers as well, right?
Yeah. So the one that I'm in now. So we had a friend who just got the game yesterday. He couldn't join our server.
Shit. Okay. So can you switch servers if you want, or are you stuck on that server with that character? Does that mean he can't play with you now?
So there's been talks about migrating servers. I don't know if that's been a thing because I haven't had the need. Like I'm in there with Chris, who's the only person I've been playing with. I've got someone else I'm going to play with later tonight, but other than that, like, doesn't affect me.
Okay.
I don't know if it's what's contributed to that is people have migrated from my server, but I know they talked about expanding the servers as well, the capacity.
Okay.
But yeah, like I said, it's been a week now and I haven't been in a single queue. And I've played every single day.
Oh, yeah. The only reason why I was asking is more because if I do start playing, like, will I even be able to play with you guys? You know what I mean? Like,
it's temporary.
And that is something to consider as well. If someone wants to jump in, are they even going to be able to play with their friends if their friends are already on one of those servers?
It is temporary. It's not like you can't create more characters.
Okay.
That's the end of it. It's just they're trying to manage the capacity so that people can actually play and not sit in a queue for fucking 10 hours.
Yeah, which the idea of that to me is just insane as someone who doesn't play MMOs, but I've heard people who play WoW, like when an expansion comes out, you know, like a 6 or 7 hour queue time isn't something that's totally out of the ordinary, which is just crazy to me. Like I barely wait for queues during COVID. I never do anymore, but In real life, generally, I don't wait in queues a lot, let alone sitting, getting ready to play a game. Wow. Yeah. But still, I don't know. It's scratching that itch for me. It's scratching that RuneScape itch, and I'm interested. I'm definitely interested. I've added it to my Steam wish list.
Oof.
I feel like when there's a big lull in the old gaming gaming echelon and there's not a lot coming out, I think it's something that I might want to invest my time into, give it a crack, at least for a good couple of weeks, see how I feel, you know what I mean? And it could potentially be something.
No subscription either, unlike WoW.
I like that. It's not too expensive at the moment. It's like $56 on Steam.
56, there you go.
Yeah. That's a pretty reasonable for a brand new game, and considering you haven't got ongoing fees. Is there microtransactions in the game?
There are, yeah. Okay. It's only what's it called? Aesthetic stuff. Cosmetic, okay. That's the word.
Yeah, cosmetic only. Okay, nice, cool. All right, New World has me bloody enticed, that is for sure. 69 out of 75 zooms. I'm not zooming over to buy it immediately, but I'm definitely very curious. But you know what though, Roger? I feel like we have brought the content this week. We are—I don't know how it's going to play out with once I edit everything out and whatnot. I dare say we'll be landing right close to the two-hour mark at the very least right now. So I think I'll save my thoughts on Alan Wake, Far Cry 6, and Metroid Dread until next week. We have episode 100 of News to Reviews coming up next week, which that one's going to be a long one. That one's going to be probably 3 hours, I don't know. So let's, I think this week, maybe, we should cut it off at this point. But, you know, it was so bloody worth it because I feel I'm kind of selfish here because I was just so curious about New World. There was so much stuff that I wanted to know because MMOs are just a world I haven't been in for such a long time and there's so much to it. So, it was all, very interesting. I'm glad we got stuck right into it. Mm-hmm. Bloody oath, Rog. Thanks for joining us for episode 99 man. Of News to Reviews. Hell, it was a pleasure to talk about New World. Do you think you're going to play any more tonight? It's like already hit. It's after 10:30 now. Do you think you're going to squeeze some more in?
Mate, I've got it ready to go. Are you kidding me? I'm not wasting time while my baby's asleep. It's precious, man. I've got tomorrow off, so.
Okay, nice. Oh, bloody oath. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Rog. It was so bloody good. We had so much stuff to talk about. And I always cherish these weeks where there's tons of gaming content. And I always cherish the times when you get to pop by and come onto the show. It was a lot of fun, bloody oath.
It's always a pleasure, my man. Always a pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to tell us what you thought of this bloody, this tag team episode of News to Reviews, this two-person episode without Lockie. Oh, God. That was weird without Lockie there. But fuck it. Who needs him? Send your feedback to news2reviewspodcast@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on all these socials, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. A Twitter handle is @news2reviews, and that's with a number 2 instead of the word 2. Roger, thank you so much for joining us. Anyone out there, maybe hold off on Far Cry 6 until you hear my impressions next week because I've got issues. I'm a long-term fan of the series and I've got some issues. Save your money and take care of yourselves and take care of one another.
Moving up in the world.
Oh, mate, it's great. All right, I've hit record. Yep. All right, you ready to do the name thing?
Yep.
Zach. I'm glad that when Lockie's not here, there's still someone who can fuck with that process. That's great. I feel like he's still with us in spirit, you know? Oh, shit. Okay.